really quick show of hands to see who would like more clients. Anyone not got their hand up?
Oh, Dave's like two hands up.
I'm glad that you all put your hand up because the rest of you were like just going early for dinner pretty much. So this last section for us today is really exciting because it's all about us getting more clients and about how we're actually talking to people about what we do and our, I guess, sign up process that we're using, which none of us, who hears the word sales and are besides Bree, who hears the word sales and is a bit like, don't like that? No, we've got a couple that are okay with it at the back, so that's good. But I mean, the majority of people are a bit nervous around the whole sales thing, and realistically, we're selling ourselves every day. You know, we're chatting to people, we're saying hello. You guys are selling your personalities effectively to each other when you're just having a chat at morning tea. How cheery you are, how interested in the other person you are, what you're kind of doing in terms of interacting with them. You're just selling yourself. It's just that we kind of give it in another name when we're trading money for that. But who in this room thinks that what your clients are getting is good value for what you're charging? While we're on that, I'm just going to add something else in. Who's charging more than the recommended $385? Who would like to be paid more than $385? Why have you not put your prices up?
I will when I get another client.
Well, I'm starting my diet on Monday too. I know that I'm not the one who's charging the most in the room, but I'm charging $500 and $100 per month. But people are charging more than that, okay? So don't undervalue yourself. I guarantee my clients that if they're not double better off what they paid me in 12 months' time, if they buy what I do, I'll give them money back. I know I'm not giving them money back. A, they're either not going to do it, or they're going to follow it and they're going to be fine. The other two outcomes. There's no other outcome that could happen, right? I had a client who found that they weren't paying house insurance on a house they didn't even own anymore just by checking their bills. Like, that's pretty much my fee, right? Easy. So this section here, we're going to go over some sales stuff. Now, all of you that have done the training except for Brad have obviously heard James and stuff. You've heard maybe me speak, depending on what training you're at, maybe not. I think I just did the last two. But I really want to retouch on it for people because what James talks about and what he teaches is a really generic kind of product and selling for anything, which you can take into any field, you definitely can, 100%. But sometimes it's just a bit like, okay, cool, well, I know what to say in most parts, but then I don't really know what to say when it exactly relates to our business and the things that I want to be saying to really get people on board in this product. So we're just going to touch on that a little bit and make sure that everyone's really up to speed and really ready to go and get some clients, right? Sound good?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So when you first talk to someone on the phone or in person and you're going to be going through some kind of sales process, we'll call it, what's the first thing that you actually talk to them about? What's the first step toward that?
Well,
yeah.
Recognize.
Yeah, exactly. Small talk, right? Now we all do that every day. Now, I'll be honest with you guys and say that I failed at small talk. I didn't think you could fail at small talk, but I did. Because we all know that when we're going through this process, if we don't kind of tick off step one, we can't move on to step two. There's no point, right? Because you've lost them already. And the reason that I failed at small talk, does anybody know why I would have failed at small talk?
Because you don't know them, so you don't really know how to break the ice.
Yeah, sometimes that can be the issue, is that you just don't really know how to connect with that person. And I've kind of found, I probably did that to a certain extent and just was really surface level, I kind of call it, like, how was your day good, oh, how was yours good, how was yours, you know, that resolve. I've already said that, okay, what next? And how I've kind of found to get past that is share something personal of yourself. Not something that's distracting, like I'm a pilot, I might have done it before, right? That's really bad, because then everyone's like, oh, cool, get them out, female pilot, oh, spending planet out the window, right? You want to share something really personal to you that can't be somebody else's but it's a kind of a generic in a way. So I might just say, okay, they're in Melbourne, oh, what's the weather been like down there? We've been having heaps of rain and my vegetable garden's been loving it. Like, my zucchinis are amazing. But, you know, that's something that's personal to me that, you know, is not going to be Julie's, but it's not really telling them anything that is, you know, that's going to get them off track. Unless they're a super keen gardener, then they'll be like, oh, what kind of stuff are you using? But, you know, most people are just happy to carry on the conversation with that, all right? So share something. If you don't share something, it's going to be hard to build that trust for going on later stages, okay? That's a big point, share something. All right, cool. What are we going to move on to after small talk?
Explaining how the conversation's
going
to go, how the call's
going to
go.
Yep, that's just a little bit after.
Thanks for calling me today. What brought you to bring me today?
Yep, exactly. So we can all use the scripted part that you would have in your manual, so I'll just read that because you think you know what you're looking for. So it's under the validate while they're on the call section, which is, thanks for coming to the call, name. I'm really grateful that you decided to join me today, name. Tell me, what was it that made you decide to invest the time to have this call? And what are we looking for in their answer? Life story.
Their exasperation.
Yeah. So if they say to you, like in the example of us being spending planners, went to the mortgage broker and we want to get a deposit together but we just don't quite have enough yet. Is that their life story? So what other questions are we going to ask to get more from that?
What's your motivation for going to get a mortgage? Where something about the mortgage that driving to go get it?
Yeah, exactly. And so,
where you're hoping to live, where you're hoping to live, and maybe they'll tell you if they've got children or.
Exactly. Oh, that's so exciting. Where do you want to buy? Oh, what are you looking for in your house? Oh, a 4-bedroom. Oh, like, and then that's, you just want to, whatever you've got, just start asking them questions about that, okay? Because that's going to lead on to, where do you want to buy? Oh, we want to buy in this area because it's a good school district so my kids can go to school there, or it's close to my wife's work, or whatever. They're going to tell you about that, okay? And, oh, have you been looking for long? You know, you can just kind of carry on with that conversation, but what you're wanting is to build up a complete picture of their life, their wife or partner, husband, their children, where they work, what they do, what they want to do, do they travel, do they go camping? What does their life look like? You need to have a picture in your mind of their life. And if you don't have a picture, you don't have enough information to carry on to the next step, okay? So it's really just this fact-finding mission. And in this level, you can kind of think of it as a little bit superficial because you're collecting information to then kind of drive down further on, like, oh, so, you know, how does it make you feel that you don't have a house yet? All those feeling and emotion questions, they come next. At the moment, we're just surface level, just finding out about their lives, just general, like, we're really interested, oh, that's really exciting, I'm really excited, okay? What other things could be their motivation besides getting a house? I'm just using that one because it's something that comes up quite regularly.
The debt.
They're in debt, okay?
They're in debt.
Yeah. So you can find out like about that debt. So you like, I had a customer that had like $95,000 worth of unsecured debt. I don't even know how you get that much.
It's easy.
Yeah.
It's really
but
easy.
Then they're like, okay, cool. So got divorced and then sold the house and then it was like that was $48,000 and then I've got one credit card for $15,000 and then another one for $16,000 and then another one for $4,000. And then they kind of tell you how they got that debt and then you know a bit more about their life so then you can ask more questions about that. Okay, because it didn't just like appear generally, there's causes to that. So you can ask questions about that. So what would be something else besides debt that they might be wanting to talk to you about?
I had one who just wanted to go for coffee. She couldn't even afford coffee.
Coffee, yep, cool.
All she wanted to do, put some savings in the bank to be able to afford coffee.
Exactly. So then you can kind of find out like what their lifestyle's like what do you do for work? Where do you like to go for coffee? You know, who do you like to go with?
She couldn't go to work. So then I got that life story. So then it was a massive life story. It was a supersonic.
Yep.
His family had died. They were Polynesian. They were having to send money home. They had nothing.
potentially, you know, it wasn't a good client anyway. But, you know, that's a really good example of my story. So she obviously got out of it and it wasn't too hard to get out. Some people you just like, you're like, okay, we need to wrap this up a little bit now, all right? But you kind of do want to let them go. And lots, some people are a little bit tricky and you kind of need to ask a few questions and be like excited about their life to kind of get them moving on. But some people are just like, they were just like, there. Alright? Okay, cool. So, when we're kind of finding out about their life, what are we particularly looking for in their life? Do we really care that they have 3 kids? No. But do we care that they go to private school? Yes. You know, we're looking for those pain points, that things that are going to actually affect their finances and be motivation for them to actually work with us. Okay? So 3, Amira, was the step 3. What did you say before?
How the call was going to go.
Yep, so we're going to
plan for the call. Yeah.
Yep, so agree to the agenda for the call.
So Tonya, how do you do a nice smooth transition from what's the point you realise, okay, I can move on?
I make sure that I've got a picture inside my head of what their life is like. So I need to know that I've got some material to move on to down here, because if I've got no material, like, I can't really move on.
Just keep asking questions.
Yep. And kind of, I mean, like I said, some people just blurt it out, some people are a little bit more closed, but you might even, if you haven't kind of shared enough information up here, maybe you have to share a little bit more down here. Like if they say, oh yeah, we try and go camping every year or whatever, just be like, oh cool, we love camping too. Last year we went out here, where have you been recently? You know, you might have to share a little bit more to get them sharing information too. It just depends on the person, but you need to make sure that you've got 2 or 3 points that you can dig down on in terms of their motivation for actually wanting to be working with you, otherwise you're not going to be able to do it. And with that agree to the agenda part, we can use the scripted card game to make it easy for you guys. Just out of interest, how many people normally sell over the phone? 50-50, and then in person? Yeah, okay. So for people that are a little bit more nervous about it, it's kind of easy to do on phone, so you can just have this in front of you and read it. Like, can you see how used this is? Like, this floats around my house, and then lots of people walking around, and I'm like, oh. I mean, I know most of it, but I kind of just put a little security blanket, like a little kid.
I had this completely cold call the other day, and I was freaking out for hours, so I got all of that stuff, and I laid it out in my bed. I was like, right, if I freak out, I'm just going to look at something new.
Yep, exactly. And I mean, what if you don't need it, but you just like to know that it's there?
I don't think I actually looked at it at all. I just was happy. I just wanted it there in case something stuff.
So the scripted part in here just reads as a bit of a reminder for all of you. I'll just use Amira as an example so I can use your name. Amira, just letting you know how this call is going to go. First, I'm just going to ask you a few questions to find out if I can help you. I'm not being nosy, I just really need to find out if we're going to be a good match for each other and if this is going to fit in with what you're looking for. I just obviously added that, that's what it says. Then I'll tell you a bit more about the stuff that we're doing here. You can ask me any questions that you have at the end of the call, and I'll clarify anything that needs clarifying. It's best just to have a notepad to jot down some notes if you need to, and then at the end of the call, all I'd like to know is if this all makes sense to you or not. Is that fair? And what are we looking for by having that statement at the end?
Yes.
A yes. Okay? So we're just looking for them to say yes, because then if they say yes, then we can like nail into a poke of an eye and be able to say really hard question that is going to start getting us moving in the right direction that we want to be taking this conversation. Now, what's the point of this section? Like, obviously agree to the agenda, really that's just the scripted part and you want a yes from them.
Asking permission to ask those questions.
Yeah, so we've asked their permission to ask them the hard questions. And why do we want to ask them the hard questions?
Get emotional, yep.
And we really want them to feel the pain of where they are at the moment. Because if they don't feel the pain of where they are at the moment, they're not going to do anything about their position. They're just going to keep cruising along. You know, if you're happy with your car, doesn't matter how good another car is, you're kind of just happy with it, whatever. But if you can, like, say, oh, it's a smell, it has a bit of a weak smell, and the aircon doesn't really work properly, and or you put that crank in the brake, or whatever, if you can kind of start pointing out some of those things, they don't start to think that their position's so good anymore and that the new car's looking a bit flasher. So what are some pain points for people that we could start sort of asking them about in this situation? What are going to be some pain points?
Not being able to provide activities for kids.
Yep. Kids is a real good one with mums. That's probably the gold standard. Like how does, and then you, all you are wanting here is responses in an emotional way, so you're asking questions about feelings. How does it make you feel that you can't have your kids going to after school activities? And then, you know, they might just give you a like, they might say that. They might say that. That's not really enough for you to go on. So you'd be like, well, why do you think that makes you feel that way? And then they can sort of elaborate a bit more. So you can, don't, just because they give you like a one word answer, that's not the end. You can ask another question to actually get them to feel that emotion a little bit more. And also, don't be too quick to cut people off. Like, make it a little bit awkward on the phone. So in that scenario where they say bad, just be silent. Like you're waiting for them to say more. They might not be planning to say more, but they may feel awkward that there's a bit of a silence, so then they start saying some more. So don't, as soon as they say bad, don't just say, oh, okay, and then carry on. Just leave it for a bit. They might not say anything, but it's about 50-50 that they probably will say something. So that's where we really want to be hitting them, is feeling this pain of where they are now. So if this is the emotional roller coaster, we're taking them down, okay? So we really want them to know, like, and once we've kind of hammered on one point, we can, if we've got like another point or even 3 points that we've picked up from the life story, then we can start talking about that as well. Like, how does it make you feel that you've got so much debt, and how does that affect your relationship, and, you know, all those kind of things. But if you're ever lost for anything, it's always just how does that particular thing, you can describe it, make you feel. That's the sentence you guys can use in this place, okay? Now, once they're really feeling that and you know they're quite emotional about it, then we don't want to leave them there because they're just going to hang up the phone for free, okay? So we want to take them back up the other side. I'm just going to put happy there for an example. But what kind of things are we going to be talking to them to get them up the other side?
What life will look like once they've got these all sorted.
Yep. And we always need to make sure we're connecting it to emotions again. So how would it make you feel like watching your girl doing ballet? How would it make you feel to know that, you know, you're going to be in your own house? The house can be a really awesome one because you guys have picked up all the information up here about their house. They want this 4-bedroom house, it's on acreage, it's whatever. And just create the picture for them. How's it going to make you feel sitting on the balcony with Rob, the husband, watching the kids running, kicking a ball? And then they've got that picture in their head and they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, we so want that. And after being down here, it's like, everything's amazing. So you're just creating the happy life, I might even put. Whatever that is for them. Now once they've got that picture, you've got that picture, everyone's happy again, we want to then transition to saying, okay, cool, how can we solve your problems? And realistically, you want them to sort of start coming up with some things that are going to be solutions for them. Because if you start saying, oh, I'm going to provide you this and I'm going to provide you that, they're thinking, I don't even need that. So that's not really helpful to them, okay? So I normally say, oh, great, that's awesome. Let's get you there. Let's have a bit of a chat about how we can get you there. What do you think needs to happen to actually achieve this? So that's what, like I'm saying, let's do it together. Let's achieve it together. That's the statement that I use to actually move them from step 3 to step 4, which is unify their direction towards buying from you, effectively. So what are most people going to think they need to actually make this a reality for them? What's going to be
more money?
Money, yep. And what, I mean, I don't know, do they think that's going to be the be-all and end-all to everything? Does everyone say that to you? Because I don't know if I've even had a client say money to me, surprisingly. Because I think that they know that they've got enough to kind of do what they want, but they just don't know how to organise it. Like they have nothing. But maybe I've had people in different spaces too. Because they're like, oh yeah, I can afford all these like debt repayments and stuff, not really in the whole. But quite often I've been to the mortgage broker and the mortgage broker, well, you can't lean anymore in your current position. So, but yeah, money can be one as well. And then you can sort of say to them, well, how do you think, you know, you can actually get more money or have more abundance of money in your life? And then, I mean, they might say you get a new job or whatever, but I don't know. In my experience, I've had people say, like, I need some kind of plan, like, I need a budget, I need, like, some way forward. Has anyone else had other responses besides money?
Just things like, I don't know where my money's going.
Yep.
Yeah, just have a plan, have order.
Get organised. Yeah,
exactly. And you can probably turn money into getting organised. You can kind of spin it a little bit. But we kind of want to take our potential clients through a bit of a journey of what we can provide for them. And what I've kind of boiled it down to, the three things that we really provide for people that is like a tangible thing for you to sell to make them feel good about it. First of all is obviously having a plan, okay? So that's one of them. And I use David's example of, you know, money has become so easy for us to recognise where we actually are. We can log into our internet banking, we can see that there's, you know, $1,000 in there. But it's not actually any easier than it was when we just got paper statements because we've got no idea where we're actually supposed to be. And I say to my clients, you know, do you think it would be really helpful to you if you actually knew that you were supposed to have 800 and you've actually got 1,000, so you know all your bills are going to be paid and you can spend 200? Or would it be helpful, you know, to know that you're actually spending $20 more and you're going to have to save a little bit on the groceries this week? And so you can be really happy, or you can, I guess you can trust in a system that's going to make sure everything's paid on time. Would that help you? Would you feel happy about that? These are all kind of sentences you need to be asking them to get a yes answer. If you're not getting a yes answer, like honestly, who's going to, you need to be presenting questions that anybody would pretty much answer yes to. Because you're not going to say to someone, oh, you know, would it help to have a plan, and I can say no. Like, you know, if you present it in a way, oh, $1,000 in your bank account, $1,000 in your plan, would that be easy for you to follow? Yes. Like, anyone's going to say yes to that. So be presenting it in a way that you're just getting a yes response. And so they'll be like, oh, yeah, that would really help. And then you're like, oh, okay, cool, that's awesome. So you can use whatever way that you want to describe the plan. You can even use other things, but this is just the three things that I use, okay? So the first thing I talk about is the plan, and then the second thing I move on to is time. And I say to the person, are you really busy? Who's going to say no? Like, everyone's going to say yes to that question, okay? And have you found in the past that money management can be a little bit time consuming? Yes, again. All these answers are just yes, 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 I've found that. It doesn't have to, you don't have to make it really specific, you can kind of just make it general. Like, just so they're following along, like, yeah, it can be a bit time consuming. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you want to say, well, you know, when I work with my clients, I want to be really realistic with them, and I want to say to them that in the beginning, there's going to be a little bit of setup time, okay? And I normally say to them that I want them to commit to me 20 minutes a day for 2 weeks. Because if people do that, they'll actually be able to set up their plan. Most people practically don't do that. They'll like do an hour here and whatever. But if you break it down into small components, that's actually the truth. Like, it's a truthful amount. They just might not do it like that. Do you think you'd be able to find 20 minutes a day for 2 weeks to get everything set up? And then ongoing from that, I'd just need 10 minutes a week for you to keep everything on track. Do you think you could find that to make a difference? Most people, everyone that I've talked to has said yes. It might be different times that you guys pick, but you just want to make sure that you're creating something that's quick and easy for them, because they've found money to be stressful in the past and time consuming in the past. And then the last part I talk about is support and motivation.
On that, a lot of people will say, I've done budgets before and they don't work.
Yep, good.
So what's the stop start?
Yep, that's exactly where I'm getting to now.
Oh.
And the point is, is that if somebody says that to you, if that's the first thing that they say when you say, how can I get you there, you don't start talking about this. You start talking about this. Whatever's in, if they say, look, you know, this is all great, but I'm way too busy, you talk about time first. Yep. Whatever the important thing is to them, you talk about that first. Then you pick the thing that you think will be the most important to them second, and then you pick the thing that's going to be last, okay? So it definitely does, very good point, it does not have to be in this order. This is just probably the most, I guess, popular order that I've done, maybe. So the last thing is support, and that's the thing, because the question I would ask if they haven't said that to you is, have you ever had a budget in the past? Yes. Why, like, what happened? Why are you still not using it now? Oh, well, something happened and it wasn't in the budget, so then it went off track, and then the micro just kind of got a bit hard and went out the door. That's pretty much the gist of what most people are going to say, but maybe in different words. So you can actually say to them, well, do you think you might have been helpful if you had someone that was there to actually help you and show you how to integrate that into your plan, so then going forward it was all right and you didn't have to start from scratch? Oh yeah, that'd be kind of helpful. And then you can kind of bleed that a little bit more in terms of, you know, we've all had, you know, personal trouble. Well, you don't have to say exactly that. You can say something along the lines of, you know, we all know that there's some people that are really motivated out there. They're going to go for a run every day and they're going to be off running marathons. But other people really like to have someone checking in and making sure they're going for a run and making sure they're going on track, because they know that they're guaranteed to get to their result if someone's helping them. And do you think it would be helpful for you if someone was checking in with you each week to make sure you're on track and helping you if something was going a bit wrong? Yes. All of these answers are yes. No one can say no to that. It's all just yes, yes, yes. So by this stage, they're like, yeah, cool, I'm on plan, yeah, cool, it's like time minimal, yeah, cool, I've got the support. Great. Now you just had yes, yes, yes. And by this stage, they're probably like, cool, when can we start? And they should be, if they've been answering yes all along, they should be at this stage. Now, before I kind of move on from here, has anyone got any questions about this stage? Because this is really the part that's quite specific to what we do. And has anyone had any other points that they talk about in here that I haven't covered? Because you might. These are just the three that I kind of use and I've picked.
I think I bring up education too.
Yep.
Educating them around your budgeting habits, around getting a good plan in place, understanding why it's important to do that and make them understand that.
Yep.
Really, that's the difference about what we do as well, is education.
Yep. Yep, that's really true. And some people might have brought that up. They'll be like, oh, well, you know, I've seen this my budget stuff around or something like that, and that's a really good point to bring up. And I guess you can choose and you can put in anything in the space that's going to bolster the fact that you're doing a really great thing. It's just enough points that they are happy with what you told them, and they're like, yep, 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 cool, where do I sign up? So you could do 10 points, but then you're just going to labour it and not going to be over it. So, now, step 4.5, I'm going to call it, I could probably call it 5, but it's not technically in here, is where we actually, they're all excited, they want to sign up, and we kind of need to step away from it a little bit. So it's like, actually, are you actually prepared to work with me, and are you prepared to put the work in, and kind of taking the heat off everything a little bit. So when you kind of give them the offer, they want it a little bit more. It's kind of like chasing the puppy dog, kind of. I guess that's how James refers to it. So in what I say personally is that I say, look, I'll be honest with you guys. I'm working with clients at the moment that are getting really awesome results, and I only want to take on people that are committed to actually putting the work in so they can get results like that too. Are you guys prepared to put in the work to actually make this happen? Because they've got an out at this stage. They can say, I'm not paying. No one's gonna say that, but that's how I back off the scenario. So then they've got, you're kind of taking the heat off the excitement. They actually know that there's some work to put in, and are they really committed? And they're like, yep, no, we want this. And you're like, okay, cool. And then you can actually, from there, then step forward again to asking their permission to put forward an offer to let them know about the charges of your services. So I find that that sentence is a really nice lead-in to asking permission, because they've already said, yep, I'm ready for it, I'm prepared to put in the work, and so then you say, look, that's awesome, I'd like to ask for permission to put forward an opportunity to let you know about the cost of my services, and they say, yep, because I've already said they want to do it. Now they're saying, yep, they want to know how much it costs, and I say, look, charge a sign-up fee of $500, and then $100 a month for a minimum of 6 months. How would you like to pay for that? Put the credit card details in, and then the most important step is getting them started straight away. So as soon as they'll pay, you're saying, cool, so what I'm doing right now is I'm sending you an email, it's got all your information, your sign-ups information, so I need you to send that back to me straight away, fill it out, send it back to me, and we can get started immediately. So give them a bit of a timeline, give them where they're going, so they're excited and they're moving. Because as soon as someone's excited and they're moving, they're not regretting the payment that they just made and wanting to get a refund and all that kind of stuff. They're like, cool, we're already doing it, we're going, it's good.
Just on the last one there, like the monthly fee, how do you put across the external software fee?
Yeah, cool. So at the moment what I'm saying is, oh, and you guys are getting a great added bonus at the moment. The software that we use is actually, it's in the beta stages of testing. So we're still finalising all the fancy features. And so what that means for you guys is at the moment it's free for you to use. It is going to be $10 a month when we get started, but I project that it'll probably be in a couple of months' time. But because you guys are signing up now, you get the first couple of months for free. But when it's, I mean, that's right now, but when it is, I'm just saying the software we use is $10 a month. Like, they're already paying like $500 to $10 or something.
And they still get the first month, they'll still get the first
yeah,
month.
Yeah, exactly, they still get the first month for free.
They don't really bat an eye at that $10.
No. It's like,
yeah,
first month. Yeah, it's like, who cares? I have, so, probably it was my first sale that I did for this. I always make sure you've got the couple on the phone, otherwise you're wasting your time. Unless it's like an Indian or Arabic family where the man does everything. Completely wasting your time. But like we got through here, and you need to make sure you're also talking to both parties. So like I've got like this couple and he's a truck driver and she's like the real offer of the lady and she's just like rah, 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 and he just sits in the background and goes, yep. And so you might need to make sure that you're getting him on board, because if you're not getting him on board, you're wasting your time as well. So it's all like when you're talking about the lifestyle, oh, what do you like to do, so-and-so? And then he's like, oh, I really like to go camping. I'm like, oh, cool, we'll have to have the BCF account to make sure you've got some money. And then he's kind of getting on board with it all. So it can't just be like one against the other. Make sure you're getting them involved at both stages. And also down here at the Unify, when you say, oh, does it sound good that you have this? And the lady's going, rah, 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 just be like, oh, what about you, so-and-so? Do you think that'd be good, you know? And he goes, yep. But at least he's saying something, okay? Because otherwise he just sits there and he's zoned out and goes and gets the DM and whatever. And then if I didn't have him on board, no way at the end, because she just goes, oh, you should see his mouth, it's just dropped to the floor. And like when I told him the price, and then I said, oh, well, look, here's the deal. And I said, like, I'll refund your money, whatever. So there's no risk to you guys. How does that sound? He goes, yep. So then they're all out, right? But if I hadn't talked to him all along, there's no way I would have got that sale. No way. So make sure you've always got the couple. And I normally find that they'll always both be on the call as well, like the monthly calls and stuff going forward. And that's good that they're both involved in the money and making decisions. So that's good for their relationship. So that's kind of a broken down version of 10 pages or whatever it is in the manual of how I run my stuff and the points that I use and the important kind of linking things that I use to kind of link from one to the next. What, just out of interest, who finds this a bit tricky?
My last call, like, did really good, went through, got on both, like I spoke to her the first day and then got it back, made an appointment, speak to both of them, got through it, got all the pain points, did the like the how you feel sort of things and just sort of got the pretty crappy and then a bit ordinary and couldn't get them to get too much more from there. And then I found it hard to do the transition into the office sort of area. I started, I got on the mountain, they were happy, felt like took them back up the happy sort of ways of, you know, we did this and how would that make you feel, and they were all happy and everything through there. But I could just, I knew afterwards, like, ended up just getting up, and we, after I did the offer, then like, I asked them if there was any questions, and then they did the offer, and then there was another 20 minutes of talking, which should have come up beforehand. But yeah, it's just, it is hard, and I print that piece of paper out every time, and I, it gets wild, and it's got so much stuff all over it. It's, yeah, it's something you've said there, well, it's good, and it'd be good to have some of you all writing down. Have the, like I said, James does this for everything and different times away, have it from someone that's doing it for themselves all the same thing. It's, yeah, it's good. But it was, yeah, at the end I knew that I missed a spot. It just didn't quite.
And it was here.
Yeah,
I've done exactly the same thing.
But I'm happy, but this wasn't enough.
You didn't hurt them enough. I've done exactly the same thing. I was like, I can sell this in my sleep. That's what I thought, until I did a shit drop. And I didn't get them here. They just, they were like, oh yeah, that feels bad. But I didn't go far enough down there. So then when I got to the bottom and asked them for an offer, they're like, oh, well maybe we'll just give it 6 months and see if we're any better and have you call back. And it's because they didn't feel the pain of where they are now enough to do something about it. And when I hung up, I said to Daryl and to Al, like, I can't believe I didn't sell this. Like, are you kidding me? And it was my own fault. I just didn't. I'm exactly this point. If you don't take them far enough down, I'm going to win.
Yeah, so I don't actually make this phone call. I have someone who makes it for me, and he didn't come to the course. And so I gave him the thing, and he watched all the videos and things like that. And his job has been for the last 11 years sales. He sold cancer funding, and he sold everything. He's been in the shopping centres, the guy that says hi, and he's been in record sales and had teams under him and things like that. And I lined him up with 7 clients to begin with that I had pre-prepared, and I knew they were going to buy this product, and he tanked them all. And he's experienced. He got shot down 7 times. But after that, we've then lined up, you know, 10 to 15 clients, and he's now delivering one. So you've just got to find your own stride, find the words that work for you, find the rhythm that works for you. With every client, the rhythm will be different, but it's always along the same current. But yeah. Tank 7 times, I was so mad. I lined these people up and I was pre-prepared. But yeah, it just was hard when he burst, and I'm like, this is not gonna work. We're failing. Like, it was really awesome, devastated, but we just had to find our rhythm, find our stride. And he had to just keep watching the videos and finding the words that he could relate to, that he could find clients that relate to, and things like that.
Yeah, you like, that's so true. You guys need to find your own words. Like, I just, and mine changed now. Like, I'll kind of go through a phase of using this, and then like I'll change to something else. Like, oh, that works, and I'll kind of use that for a bit. But it's all exactly, it's not, I'm not changing the structure. I'm just kind of changing the words that I feel about at the time.
I just changed the way I look at failure as well. It's not a failure, it's just a really good practice. That's a really good lesson, and it's like, it's just bringing you closer to that person that is going to say yes. So really, I just celebrate everyone.
And make sure that you guys are going into it, this is the biggest part, going into it with the mindset that if you don't present this to this person well enough, they're missing out on the opportunity of a lifetime. Because, like, I think of friends that I practice on and stuff, and to be fair, friends are hard because it's like finances and stuff, but, like, that was 4 or 5 months ago, and, like, some people are coming to my wedding and it's going to be expensive for them to come to New Zealand, and if they had have done it, but in September, like, they would have been able to afford to come to my wedding, but maybe they won't be able to now because they couldn't, and they'll be missing out on that because I couldn't present it in a way that could connect with them. So it's really, you know, they're missing out on opportunity because you couldn't present it to them. So don't think about it like you're selling to them, because you're actually going to change their lives by doing this. So make sure you've got that mindset, because it'll be a way easier for you to talk to people about. Do you girls have any questions? Your sales is kind of like...
No, that's pretty straightforward. I don't have an issue so much with all of that. It's actually getting the appointments.
Yeah.
Getting cool. The appointments. That's, are we going to do a session on that?
We are.
I mean, I have been
pumping out my free consultation, free coffee. I didn't get the boot up the bum. So yeah. So that's,
yeah. We sure are. So yeah. Well, Daryl, how am I going for time?
15.
Cool. Well, I'm pretty much finished with this section. And has anyone else got any questions? Because this is your chance. I know that it's daunting when you first sort of start out.
When you're down in the mission offer section,
yep.
And I know you said that if they're balking at price, it's because you haven't hit the paint. What can you do at that point then? If you're down there in the mission offer, and they say,
I use the guarantee then to try and get them across the line, because in their mind it should present as no risk to them, because they either succeed and get double what they paid or they get their money back. So it should be like a no loss situation for them. But like when I was saying to Mark, like the clients that I lost here, like that didn't even matter to them because I hadn't done a good enough job.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like you can sort of say a few things like, well, how's it going to make you feel in 6 months' time if you haven't taken advantage of it. You can say things like that, and there's lots of sort of examples and changes stuff of things that you can say, but it's a lot harder to save it.
Yeah.
What's your guarantee? What guarantee do you need?
So I say if you're not double better off the money that you've paid me, then I'll, after 12 months of following my program, or not 12 months of following my program, but like in 12 months, if you followed my program, which is 6 months or 7 months, then I'll give you money back.
Do you only say that if you're getting a bad deal about it?
Good question. I do it to people, I don't necessarily always tell people at the bottom, like it's like a, you didn't say yes, so now I'm going to add it on. Like, I will use it, but if people have come to me in a pretty warm lead, if they'll come through a mortgage broker, I don't need to tell them, I'm guaranteeing them. Like, I'm still happy to honour that, and my mortgage broker knows, or my mortgage brokers know that's what I do. But they're already motivated, because they've been to a mortgage broker, the mortgage broker said, no, I can't help you, and they want to be helped. So if you talk to them straight away, they'll warm it. So you don't need to sort of add them. Depending on how you kind of portray it, I guess it can be a bit like, hey, you get a free set of steak knives. So I use it when I need to.
No, now that you said mortgage brokers, are you going to go through how you talk to mortgage brokers?
I'll talk about it tomorrow.
Have you done a group presentation?
Oh, good question. We can talk more about that tomorrow too. So, anyone else? This is the time.
I think we've got to mention on before, like you sort of come up with some really good things here, and it's, I've written down as much as I can. I know you your own business as well, but you're also part of the institution. is there any sort of, because like I said, you know, James things are high points, but what you just said, and I've made as many comments as I can there into what we do, not to draw or something like that. Is there any sort of way of writing? Are you able to write some of these things down?
It's all recorded, and this is, I believe, all going to be put up on the resources page. Is that right, Jen? Everyone's getting the audio recording?
Yes.
So it's all, you can listen to this as many times as you want.
Tony, you were saying that you lost a client because you didn't reach the bottom pain point. How do you now know that you're there?
I know, but I knew at the time, like when I looked back, it's so obvious, but I just didn't think that I needed to go. Because you guys obviously know that I sell for the Speed Plant Institute, so I, you know, sell something that's thousands of dollars versus this is like $500. So to me, I was just like, oh, $500, like I can sign anyone up for that. But they were just giving really short, like, yeah, oh yeah, make it look bad. Yeah, not that good.
You didn't break his leg.
Yeah. He was just like, oh yeah, it sucks, but it's not like, oh my god, this is the worst thing, I'm bleeding out. Like, I needed more. I needed they need to be talking in sentences, not one word or two words. That's not a sentence. They need to be actually explaining things and how that makes them feel and that kind of stuff.
They need to be saying everything that they've bombed up for the last 6 months, basically.
Yeah.
So does that mean you didn't spend enough time on the life story?
No, I had the life story, I just didn't ask them enough questions. So it was like, first question is like, so how does it make you feel that you've got $98,000 worth of credit card debt? Not that good. And then like I asked a couple more and they're like, yeah, it's a bit bitch. And then the girl kind of piped in because she was like, oh, I'll tell you the whole story, and then I kind of got a bit more. But I just didn't take, I was probably like here, and then I was like, oh, yeah, that's enough. Let's take it back up.
You think $90,000 of your debt would be enough?
Yes. Like, I'm like, I was like, I can sell to these people, like, this is so easy. But, like, I mean, Daryl and Al will tell you, it's pretty, like, I was kind of having a bit of a sob about it, but I was just going to believe that I mucked up, but whatever, like, I learned about it, and that was it. So, I'm not perfect, I'm never going to be perfect, I'm probably always going to have good days and bad days, but you guys should, this will become easy for you to do if you practice it.
We just need more clients to practice on.
Did anyone have any more questions about sales? No. Oh, Brad, get in there.
Just with your guarantees, how like, Kevin's, well, it's wise enough, so if you've got debt, like half your debt, sort of thing, or...
Well, I guess, like, it's really a bit subjective, isn't it? Like, effectively, I'm charging my clients $1,100 by the time I've paid everything, so double it would be $2,200. But I know now already that both of my clients have found savings way in excess of that amount, which they didn't have before now because they're just spending everything that they earn. So that's kind of covered it. But you might come across clients that can't save that amount. Like my clients are saving like a deposit in a year that was just going up in smoke. But people might only be able to save $1,000 if things are really tight, you know, that might be their position. But you're probably going to have a good idea of that in the beginning. But the point is, if they're happy, they're not going to be asking you for a refund. Like if someone's only saving $1,000, you've caught them from like right down in the hole to like actually having hope and a beacon of light and managing their finances to be able to save that amount. So they're not going to ask for a refund.
The reality is, if they follow you all the way through for a year, if they're not going to get the calculator and go, hang on, I paid you this much, and hang on. They'll know that their life's better.
I was going to say, it's not really a financial figure thing. It's if I've helped you achieve one of your goals, and if one of the goals is learning to save better, paying the bills on time, feeling better about money, if I've helped you achieve one of your goals, I'm guaranteeing that I can help achieve one of that goals. It's leaves it to the side of the I'll have 10.
You can
goals.
Have what you don't even have to have a guarantee. You can have it whatever you want. Yeah. That's just what I use. And it's just like
it's just a, like if I'm at the point of I'm not sure if I want to do this or not, and someone says, oh, I'll guarantee. Double what you paid me better off, I'm kind of here and safe. That's really what it comes down to.
Okay, cool, guys. Well, thank you so much. I'm obviously here for the whole weekend, so if you've got any more questions or anything, come and chat to me about it. But we've got heaps more exciting stuff. So please just think about the thing that was like the most biggest takeaway from this and have a chat to the person maybe on the other side of you that you haven't already talked to today and just have a quick chat to them about it.